What's up, apes? Hope everybody had a phenomenal kickstart to the week here. Of course, we're coming at you once again with the Daily Beals video stream for the day. My name is David. It is currently 9:18 p.m. on this beautiful Monday, April 29th, I believe. Yes, 29th, 2024. We're coming at you with all the action from the day, or really all the important action, always separating the signal from the noise over here at the Daily Peel. So we're getting you ready for the ticker tape tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. Let's go ahead and get into it. Now, regular viewers, aka wise apes out there, might notice that, hey, there are no bananas on my table here. That is definitely true. They've all been eaten. The monkeys are running loose here at the Daily Peel Global Headquarters. But I can assure you, there certainly were bananas earned in the WSO Alpha portfolio here today. So we did see the stocks rise about 47 basis points in total. We are once again dominating the S&P and the NASDAQ for the year. Really, it's way too easy. I don't know what everybody has to go to college and get a degree for this. I mean, it seems ridiculous. Beating the market, we'll do it in our sleep, and we pretty much do it in our sleep, given that most of the action is contained overnight. So still, we'll take it. We're riding a big high on that right now, up 9.07% for the year in total. So hey, let's hope that we can keep it going. All right, let's go ahead and move into some of the banana bits for the day as well here. So first and foremost, we did have a rogue banker from Morgan Stanley come out and say that the IPO market is looking pretty hot, not only for 2024, but into 2025 as well. So get hyped up, because it seems like there's going to be a lot more jobs coming available for most of you guys that are looking to come in, work in M&A and whatever it is, just completely slave away at a desk for 100 hours a week for the best 2 years of your life following college, and when you're really, you know, you can throw away your youth in those 2 years. And so hope you guys have a lot of fun doing that. Just make sure your bank account gets really, really high, and hopefully an increasing or kind of a liquidating, improving M&A market should help out with that. Anyway, let's go ahead and move into the next story. We do have a lot of activity going on related to the housing market. As we know, we've been talking about this for months and months and months. It feels like it's a regularly occurring segment at this point, along with inflation and employment, is housing. And so our boomer-ass, or really even older than boomer-ass lawmakers, finally heard that some of these investment companies like BlackRock are buying up every fucking house on the block. And they're pretty upset about it. These guys are going, full get off my lawn. So make sure to check out that Wall Street Journal report included in the piece if you want to buy a house in the next ever, potentially. Anyway, we did see some questions coming from economists this week as well, that they're kind of wondering if the Federal Reserve's rate hikes even helped a little bit. They're basically trying to see if they worked at all. Now, if you ask somebody like SVB or any electric vehicle or solar company in the entire world, they will assure you that they absolutely have had an effect. But according to inflationary data we've gotten lately, it's a little bit hazier than that. We'll be breaking down the full inflation report in just a quick second with our big story of the day. So, you know, we'll kind of get into the weeds of it there. But before we do, it's also important to know that technology investment funds have been seeing more action lately than Drake gets in his DMs. I mean, I absolutely swear to God, this shit is popping off. You got to look at the chart that I included in that link right there if you call yourself an investor, as this is, it's one of those, I mean, it's completely ridiculous. Technology funds are pretty much the only ones that have consistently been able to amass inflows as opposed to outflows in the past couple of weeks, and especially over the last few months. Completely insane. Shout out to NVIDIA and really the AI revolution for driving that, because otherwise it might be the complete opposite direction, given that everybody and their mother apparently seems to think that tech is like still in a bubble since 2001. I really don't understand what's driving that, but either way, that's kind of the situation that we're in right now. Let's move on to the big story of the day. I also want to apologize for my voice here today. Definitely been a little bit under the weather. I was traveling a good bit this weekend down in Gainesville, Florida, and I'm pretty sure all those college students running around UF gave me some kind of a disease, but I'm a little bit too scared to go to the doctor and find out what it was. So I do apologize for that, but we're here and we are talking about inflation once again. And specifically, we're talking about goods that are doing bad. So when we talk about inflation, obviously it's a very broad picture. The CPI, it attempts to measure a basket of the average spending of any given consumer in the United States during a month-long period. But the thing is, nobody is actually that any given consumer. It's kind of the weighted average of all the fucking psychos that live in the United States. So it's a little bit strange. But when we break it down a little bit, it's a little bit like if you looked at the 2012 New England Patriots team, right? You could look at that group of players and say, you know what? Seems like a nice group of guys, some fine gentlemen I wouldn't mind grabbing a beer with, until you find out that one tight end, Aaron Hernandez, was actually a soon-to-be convicted murderer. Then you start to say, like, maybe it's not a good group of guys, but the point is, one bad apple can't ruin the bunch. Aaron Hernandez can't ruin the Patriots, as you guys can see. That one hits pretty home for me. But Aaron Hernandez can't ruin the Patriots, and certain line items within the inflationary reports should not ruin our view of inflation as a whole. So we break down the numbers, we take a look at the exact data that we got on Friday in our kind of updated chart in that regard. The scary part was really that the blue line, or the headline PCE data, started to tick higher once again. So we'd seen months of 2.6, then 2.5%, now we're back up at 2.7. Obviously, everybody completely shit their pants as a result of a 1 basis point move higher. That in itself is relatively ridiculous. But when we break down the actual inflationary rate, we can take a look at the data. We can see that it's basically four things between the PCE and the CPI that are driving that inflationary print higher. That includes gasoline prices, shelter costs. I wrote the list earlier. Gasoline prices, apparel, shelter costs, and transportation services. These are the biggest things right now that are driving those inflationary upticks, especially when it comes to gasoline prices and transportation services for the headline PCE. When we strip that stuff out, we see that core PCE is still on a relatively steady decline. It's still higher than the headline number, but the point is that it's moving in a more appropriate direction. It's seeing declines pretty much across the board, or at least continued gradual declines, whereas headline data is starting to actually tick higher. So that's where we see that food and energy inflation is clearly kind of the driving force in recent months. But if we go ahead and take a look at some data from certified smarty pants Torsten Slock over at Apollo, this guy has been absolutely killing it lately. We have been riding him like nobody else. I didn't mean it in that way, but take it as you will. We've been stealing this guy's charts like absolutely nobody's business. And we did cite it in the piece, so I'm pretty sure it's not, copyrighted or however that law works. A lawyer should definitely let me know about that. But either way, essentially what he's showing here is that traders are pricing for commodity prices and specifically heavy manufacturing inputs to have much higher prices a couple of months from now. So the chart that we included shows current commodity prices measured by the CPI overlaid with ISM manufacturing PMI indexes. And this is kind of a 10-month forward-looking price index. It's not super accurate, but it's kind of the best we got. That is seeing a serious uptick from what we're at right now. So that has us a little bit spooked, but as always, we here at the Daily Peel, we're here to calm things down. We're here to talk about the signal and not the noise, right? If we take a longer-term view with this, or kind of a more holistic view with this, we can kind of take a step back and see that goods are really only about 20 or so, 23, 25% of the U.S. economy in any given year. So if that's where we're seeing the concentration of inflation, then really it's not as bad as everybody kind of makes it out to seem. Now, goods prices, they're much more in your face than services are, right? Like, they got gas prices, they are headlining every street that you drive down to this godforsaken late-stage capitalism country. You see these prices plastered all over the place. You go to the grocery store once, twice, three times a week, if you're that unfortunate, and you go and you see how much these food prices have risen. Shit like services, you're not necessarily looking too much. Nobody really gives a fuck about their services subscription prices after you sign up for it. Quite honestly, we typically forget about it. Really, the only services that are seeing strong inflation are that caused by me and you. It's financial services, it's insurance products, it's other bullshit like that, that the prices are starting to increase substantially as if there's some kind of wage push inflation still going on. We've gradually seen that go away, so there's not really a reason for it anymore. Either way, the big takeaway here is that interest rates certainly have had an effect. We can see that in those instances that we kind of joked about earlier, that effect is going to be spread very unevenly across an economy because it's a $28 trillion business we're talking about here with the U.S. economy. Of course, interest rate hikes are really one blunt instrument, aren't going to be able to hit everything very evenly. Like, it's completely ridiculous to expect that everything's going to kind of move in tandem. So the fact that we're starting to see inflation move in the right direction, yes, it's going to be choppy along the way, especially in these last 10%. This is all stuff that we know. This isn't even hindsight bias. This is shit that we knew and that people talked about going into it, and now it seems like nobody's remembering that we were aware of this right now. Either way, everybody's still kind of freaking out about inflation. Nobody in their right mind is expecting a rate cut in 2024 anymore. So if you were banking on that to get some gains this year, definitely throw away that hope and just lock in those losses in your portfolio already for that capital gains offset. So, it is what it is right now. That's pretty much the story on inflation as it streams. I mean, the last thing I do want to mention, or that I did mention in the piece, mainstream media is going to continue to force feed this down your throat. It's something that you should be absolutely terrified of. Unless we see several months continuously of increasing inflation, there really isn't anything to be too concerned about on the inflationary side of things at this point. That doesn't mean there's nothing to be concerned about for the economy as a whole, but from our perspective, slowing growth is more of a risk right now than inflation. And those two things pull in complete opposite directions, so it's kind of a one or the other. If you have slowing growth and inflation, that's a stagflationary scenario that we saw in the 1970s, but very unlikely right now, given the, you know, the inflation and the somewhat slowing growth that we saw from the GDP print in the first quarter. It's all overblown. It's really not that big of a deal. It ain't that deep. These are small percentages that we're talking about here, and the trends continue to move in the right direction. Wait for the trends to change, then we can get a little bit concerned. I'm going to stop rambling and go into some of the big stock movers of the day here. First and foremost, we have Tesla up 15.3% on the day. Holy hell, what a start to the week from Mr. Elon Musk. This guy woke up in Beijing. Some of us, what is it, wake up with amnesia or take a pill in Ibiza or something like that. This guy flies to Beijing and makes deals. So Elon woke up this morning in Beijing. He went over and talked to Chinese Premier Li Chang, I think is how you pronounce that. Somebody correct me down below, but Li Chang. Essentially, the deal states that Tesla cars pass data security clearances in China, or in the second largest economy in the world, second most populated country in the entire world. Huge deal to be able to get this clearance in China. Effectively, that means that their products aren't really under too much of a threat. And if we move into our second big mover of the day, we have Baidu. That's the other big player in this scenario, because Tesla, really with the approval what they got was for, was in order to be able to have FSD in China. And obviously, that's going to make the Tesla bulls completely flip out, start ripping bananas from wall to wall right there. That's basically what we saw on the day for both of these stocks. Baidu was up 5.6%. So that's a big revenue stream down, literally the most valuable automaker in the world, exclusive to you. And let me take a step back here, because I don't think I explained this very well. In China, there's basically 20 companies that are allowed to sell these kind of mapping and navigation systems that a self-driving vehicle like an FSD-powered Tesla would need in order to operate in the country without crashing into everything that it sees. So Tesla essentially settled that Baidu would be that company for them going forward, and obviously the stock prices are off to the races as a response. This also does show a particular skill of Elon to play both sides of the Pacific. A lot of companies like Apple has been known for that ability, but even Tim Cook has been kind of losing out on that front. That's why you're seeing manufacturing leave China for iPhones and go anywhere but just about. So once again, a tip of the cap of Elon Musk for being one of the great CEOs out there and being able to navigate the extremely kind of tense waters that are U.S.-China relations, or that are kind of going over the Pacific right now. Shout out to Elon, shout out to Baidu, and everybody who owns shares. Congrats on the gains. Moving down below, we have AMC Entertainment. If you're surprised by this, quite honestly, you should go back to middle school, or you should contact us and let us know, because you should at least be riding a school bus that's a little bit smaller than others in order to get to your classes on time. So we have AMC down 11.1% on the day here. Obviously, this company wasn't going to do good for its earnings report. If you held shares and expected a different outcome, I honestly don't know what to tell you. But essentially, this company, they reported preliminary earnings data. It's not even the actual earnings report. They came out and just warned investors the profits are going to be way lower than expected. They blamed a shitty Q1 box office, which I can completely understand. I just saw Civil War recently and was incredibly disappointed in that movie. Really wanted to see what more they could come up with from like an action and a political side. But instead, we essentially saw the inside of a camera for an hour and a half, 2.5 hours, basically. Either way, whatever. Disappointing movie, very disappointing content slate. Obviously, that's going to be bad for theater companies like AMC in the first quarter. They're basically saying they're kind of blaming the writer's strike for 2023 and lingering effects of having less content come to theaters in that time. I think the real problem is that all of that content is going to Netflix. But either way, I digress. Let's go ahead and move on to our final stock of the day. We have SoFi Technologies down 10.5%. This is my bag, so I kind of shit myself when I saw that. I was like, am I going to get fucking liquidated here? But certainly hope not, because revenue grew 37% for the period. Earnings came in twice as high as was expected at about 4 cents a share versus the 2 cents that was expected. I mean, the company's absolutely booming. The only problem is that in Q2, they came out and basically said, revenue growth isn't going to be as strong as it was in Q1. We expect somewhere around $560 million in revenue in Q2. The market said, fuck you, we want $580. We're setting your shares down 10.5%. That's exactly what happened. They did say that they even expect to actually make money or be profitable in 2024. So that should give us some degree of hope and optimism, but either way, it wasn't nearly enough for Wall Street. This is exactly why we cannot have nice things. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on down below. So, final story of the day, we want to talk about the problems with parents, and more specifically with Paramount. So, imagine you're born, and one day, all of a sudden, your parents die. It's an absolute tragedy, but now you're the fucking control shareholder of one of the biggest and most important media companies in the entire world. It's a pretty strange position to be put in, but that's exactly the position that current CEO and president of National Amusements and non-controlling shareholder of Paramount Global, Sherry Redstone, was put in following the kind of wrestling of control of National Amusements and its holdings and Viacom CBS and Paramount Global from her father, Sumner Redstone, back in 2019. Sumner then passed away, unfortunately, in 2020, giving all control, basically 80% voting interest in Paramount Global to Sherry Redstone. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now, because Redstone wants the fuck out of there. She has been trying to make a deal with Skydance Media for really the past couple of years, but it kind of came to a head in December of this year when it became public that these negotiations were going on. Essentially, Skydance Media and its CEO David Ellison have promised Sherry Redstone that they're going to pay her a fuck ton of money for her A shares and Paramount Global. But investors like you and me, the poor bastards who are too stupid to be able to buy A shares, we can only buy B shares. And so we're getting completely screwed over. It's a very dilutive deal for those of us dumb enough to hold Paramount Global B shares. But that's exactly what's going on right now. That's kind of a quick summary. And it took a turn for the worst here today as longtime CEO Bob Bakish of Paramount Global decided to ultimately step down, quote unquote, step down. Probably got his head chopped off, or would have if he didn't actually agree to step down. Very reminiscent of like Succession vibes, if anybody watched that shit, with like Logan Roy and whatever the daughter's name was. She was fucking intolerable, just like most people on that show, to be quite honest. But it gives that kind of similar vibe kind of thing, because Redstone apparently has her earmuffs on and they are noise canceling, because she is not listening to a word the shareholders say, even though a lot of these Class B shareholders come out and revolted and basically said, this is completely disgusting. It's so unfair for Redstone to get such a premium while B shareholders don't own anything. But at the end of the day, this is America. Sherry Redstone is the owner. She has controlling interest and she can do whatever the fuck she wants. She is likely going to be selling this business and never going back into corporate America again, because this is one of those kind of reputation-burning things where nobody wants to put you in charge of anything anymore, because you're just going to screw over all the people who are underneath you and who are kind of funding your antics at the very top. That's kind of what we're seeing right now. Bakish is gone. RIP to that guy, because he was the only media executive in the world that didn't constantly seek the limelight in whatever manner that he could achieve it. So that's a tough loss for the mainstream media here in the United States. Expected to get even worse than it actually is right now, if you can believe it. Let's go ahead and end with a quote that has absolutely nothing to do with anything that we talked about here today. But just because I was reading his biography, or I guess I should be honest, listening to his biography this weekend on my long travels. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but I was down in Gainesville, and I am pretty sure they drugged something that I unfortunately was near, drank, breathed in. Anything like that, that place needs a fucking physical exam. It needs some kind of STD exam, because that thing was absolutely disgusting. But anyway, this quote is from Mr. John D. Rockefeller, whose biography I was listening to on that ride for at least a portion of it. Definitely not the whole thing, but he once said, next to doing the right thing, the most important thing is to let people know that you are doing the right thing. That's a weird one, right? Like, I thought it was pretty weird when I first heard it, but he's essentially saying that not only is it important to do the right thing, but it's important to make sure that other people know that you are doing the right thing. Very kind of self-aggrandizing vibe right there, but still, he very much has a point. It's kind of an uncomfortable truth that nobody would really want to admit today. Today, it's all about, no, I'm doing this because of me and nothing else, but he's basically saying, no, it's important for other people to know that you're doing the right thing, or at least attempting to do the right thing. Whatever the fuck, this guy was worth like $300 billion in today's money, so anything he says probably has nothing to do with my or your life, but either way, still an interesting character to read about, learn about, and quote, I guess, in a random newsletter like this. All right, we've been rambling for quite a while now, so I'm going to cut it here for us at 9:36 p.m. Shout out to the Celtics, completely smoking the Heat tonight. The game's actually not over. But let me go ahead and check the score before I hop off here today as well. It is currently 91-74. Let's go, baby. It's going to be 3-1 Celtics. We're basically walking to the finals at this point. So if anybody is a fan of any other NBA team, I honestly feel bad for you, but better luck next year. Hey, we will see you guys tomorrow. Happy investing, happy trading. Bye now.